D-Mates, Figgin, and Donick coming your way here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. And we are talking to Barry Trotz, the Predators general manager, as we do every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. The Olympics are over. We are glad to have that in the rear view. What an amazing experience that was over in Italy. And the season resumes on Thursday night. Barry, I hope your batteries are recharged, but I've got to ask you right off the bat, where were you watching, and what was that like? Because, wow, what an amazing tournament.
I was watching at home. I was like everybody else. I got up early and put my slippers on and got a coffee to get myself up early and awake and started watching some hockey.
So just your thoughts on the game. The thing that jumped out to a lot of the experts, especially the ones that were there on hand, was just how fast the game was being played.
Yeah, it was played at the highest level. I mean, you had the best players playing under probably the biggest microscope they've ever been under, with the intensity off the charts. You had the best hockey that really the world can provide at this moment in time. I mean, outstanding talent, outstanding speed, big moments, be it great saves, great opportunities, and it comes down to one play. How great is it? The only thing I wish for a game that was played at a better time for the whole, I'll say, Western Hemisphere to see it at more reasonable hours, especially the people on the West Coast.
Yeah, the people on the West Coast, boy, they had an early wake-up call for sure. Barry Trotz is brought to you by Green Ventures Landscaping and Gary Force Acura here on 102.5 The Game. So, Barry, like you said, it's a game of inches. In the three-on-three, like, Cale Makar comes within maybe a fraction of a second of stealing the pass and having maybe a dead breakaway to win it for Canada. He can't quite get it. It's tipped ahead of him by Jack Hughes, who races down. Werenski wins a battle, passes to him. It's so amazing. 3-on-3 opens up so many possibilities. Like, it would be hard to imagine Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, and Connor McDavid having the winning goal scored against them, three players of that magnitude. But in 3-on-3, it's so quick that what happens, that really anything can happen.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, isn't that scary when you just name those three names? You're going, there's no way that they're going to get scored on.
Mm-hmm.
They can all defend. They can all create offense. There's very few people on the planet that even can escape with them. And you're right. I mean, if Cale Makar gets that puck, which I thought he was going to get it, I couldn't believe that my first thought was the two other American players had already left the zone, and there's a loose puck, and Jack Hughes is able to just touch it before Cale Makar, and it pops over, and it could have been a 2 or 3-on-0 the other way for Canada, but Jack got it and moved it up, and lo and behold, he scores the winning goal. So it's milliseconds and just, you know, a centimeter here, a centimeter there.
Do you think that in future Olympics they should rethink it and have the gold medal game be 5-on-5 until it ends?
I thought about, we had this discussion. It opens up so many hockey sort of discussions, the 3-on-3 in the Olympics, and I know why they probably do it. I would like to see probably a 10-minute 5-on-5 or one period 5-on-5 and then go to a 3-on-3. I do not want it to end in a shootout. That would be the worst. But I would like to see a little bit of 5-on-5 or at least 4-on-4 before we got to the 3-on-3. But that's a discussion for people in a lot higher position than I am.
We'll talk with Barry Trotz, an absolute Predators GM. Now, Barry, you guys have called Zach LaRue back up, and this is not his first time back up on a team. He was back up on a team, I think, last November or somewhere around there. But because of injury, he wasn't able to play. What did you guys see from him in Milwaukee, and what do you and Coach Bruno envision his role being here?
Well, it was quite simply, Zach has been the most impactful player in Milwaukee, probably game in and game out. I think at times we've called the guys like Reed Schaefer up, but you know, once Zach got healthy, because he got an earlier call up before Christmas. I think you said it in November, and he had actually took a slap shot in Milwaukee. I believe it was in San Jose, and he kept playing on it. And everybody, we felt it was a bone bruise. Everybody couldn't find anything in terms of all the imaging. Our medical team found everything, and then we called him up as an extra guy because he deserved to be the first call-up. And he was in the gym and doing some workouts, and then he came in with our doctors, who have just a wonderful team of doctors from Vanderbilt. He just said, how's your foot? And he said, it's actually getting a little bit sore. And they did some tests, looked at it even further, and they found that he would need some time off. And so he didn't get an opportunity to play last time. So he went back down after, rehab and getting better. And he was playing impactful minutes, having big impact on the every game. And we stayed healthy. So and now that at the trade deadline, we moved, guys like Matthew Wood and Sechkov, give him some time down there, that Zach continued to be the player that was having the biggest impact. So he's the guy that's up, and he's going to play, I think a similar role of what he did February, March last year, where he's killing penalties. He's playing defensive type roles, but he may get a little boost up in maybe a third hole line with maybe a Marchessault or someone like that. So he's deserved to come up. So I think every time a player comes up, and especially if they're ready, and Zach has shown that he's ready for that call up, that he'll make it very difficult for us to have him go down again if ever. So that's what I expect from Zach. That once they get a taste of it, they don't want to go back down.
Now, Finland gets the bronze, and UC plays extremely well. Are you anticipating, now that the season is getting ramped back up and you guys got to make this push for the playoffs, do you expect some of that momentum that UC had in the Olympics to translate to the second half of the season?
I think so. Obviously, the Finnish national team is probably a little stronger than the Nashville Predators on as a team, but I think Juice has had a really solid year. I think just like anybody else in our team, the start wasn't where we wanted it to be from everybody, so it affected his play. But he's, in this last, I'll say, 2 months, 2.5 months, I could say the difference in the game. I know I've gone downstairs, and we've been a slow-starting team, and I have said that, we're down 2-0, we come back and win hockey games. But the real difference was when it was 2-0 that UC Saros has made two or three huge saves to keep it 2-0 or 2-1 to keep us in the game rather than extend it. So I thought he's been pretty solid for a long, long time, and he showed it in the Olympics, and I'm very, very proud of what he did, because that is high caliber, high quality, and you look what he did against the Canadians. I mean, he was Connor Hellebuck for the Finnish team against the Canadians, and unfortunately, Canada got the victory in the end on the power play, but he was outstanding, and I'm hoping he comes back and does the same for us.
Barry Trotz is with us. And Barry, along those lines, UC Saros, he had outstanding numbers in the entire tournament. He played all of the minutes. And of course, as we know, he is a guy that shoulders a lot of the load year in and year out as the starter. So this is probably a better question for Andrew Burnett that he'll get, I would guess, on Thursday. But does there need to be a little bit of managing his workload, knowing that he had to work so hard?
Yeah, no question. I it's been a little bit of a concern all, you know, I would say the last couple of years anyways, that you want to keep a little tread on Juice, but Juice likes to play lots. The coaching staff and especially the goaltending department have changed a lot of his routines. I mean, Juice used to go out for morning skate a lot of times and be out there for, you know, basically an hour 15 on game day, which was insane. Now they have him, you know, 25 minutes. We have a third e-bug goalie, if you will, that can come in and, you know, sort of deal with that sort of workload. So we have been being creative to get a little bit of the workload off, but we just got to get him back to Nashville. He's not even back in Nashville tonight. He got flown right into the storm.
Oh, boy.
Him and Eric Halla have not returned to Nashville as of yet.
Oh, boy, that storm is causing a lot of issues up north,
yes,
for sure.
It is.
So with that in mind,
he would have been better off going to Miami.
Yeah, he could have hopped in. They should have followed the other plane, I guess. Those guys look like they're having a good time down there.
They certainly do.
So, Barry, that is something that I know will be a huge theme for every team around the league, is regardless of how many Olympians you had playing, how many got eliminated early that were playing, or just the guys that haven't played a game in 3 weeks, being able to jump back in and be efficient right from the gate. The teams that can do it are going to get a big advantage here at a critical time of the year. What goes through your mind if you're a coach? How do you try to turn that light on as quick as possible?
Well, I think, you know, as a coach, you've got a number of different problems. You know, for some teams that didn't have any of the Olympians, they've got all their guys there. They're probably doing some team building. You know, they're working on their systems. They've got some continuity within them. A good example might be we're playing Chicago coming out of the break. I believe they only had Karavainen maybe as the only player there. So they'll probably have a lot of continuity with their group in terms of lines and that. Now they haven't played for a while, but they're a young group, so they'd be probably looking forward to playing hockey games again. On the other end, I think our next game is Dallas, who, you know, they're probably like us, though they have a lot of Finnish players. They're probably, their Finns are, I know that some of them just are on their way back this afternoon. We're expecting to get Juice and Halla back a little later tonight. You know, they had a lot of their group out, so there's probably not a lot of continuity in terms of their group, because they probably only had, you know, 13 or 14 practicing players for the most part. And you're going to get a bunch of guys coming back from the Olympics. So that's going to be for the Finns that are coming back. I mean, it'll be a little bit different. You know, they just came off an incredible high, the Olympians. I know that, you know, the U.S. Team, all the Olympians that are back, you know, in D.C. tonight or in Miami yesterday. I mean, you know, I would say to all the people watching, please do not criticize those young men. If they miss a game, you know, a lot of teams are going to keep their guys out, but please, you know, to any, if you're a hockey fan, if you're a sports fan, if you're a fan of these guys have just got to the top of the mountain. And one of the things that you learn in life is that you get to the top of the mountain, you want to have an opportunity to enjoy the moment. And sometimes that moment is lasts for weeks, but sometimes that moment, if you can just have that moment, it's a couple days, and then they'll come down to earth and get back to being, you know, good teammates and being responsible players and the key to their franchises. So please don't judge those men, because they've done something great for their country. And, you know, it's really important, because there's teams that are on the, I'll say, on the bubble, and they might be missing one or two of their top players because, you know, if they happen to be American. So those guys deserve that moment is what I guess what I'm saying, you know, and because that's a they're in a brotherhood forever.
It was really interesting. You could see that. You could feel that with both teams, really, how hard they had worked, how much they loved playing for one another and for their country. So that's a great point. And at the same time, I think there's just going to be this hunger to watch hockey, too, probably even from some fans that are new fans. Don't you think, Barry, with some of the games? I'm curious what Thursday looks like. I think people are going to be excited to watch a hockey game.
Yeah, I think so. I think, trust me, it's not going to be the same hockey that we just got to see in the finals. Because that's the highest level that you'll ever see. I think you're right. I think there's an appetite for the game. I think the Olympics was fantastic for our sport, just as the Force of Four Nations was. And it continues to grow, you know, worldwide. I mean, we're seeing, you know, we're doing, you know, broadcasts in nations that don't have a lot of hockey. And that's a good thing, because there's more and more hockey players around the world enjoying our great game.
And you're absolutely right about that, Barry. Also, too, the women's team. Did you get a chance? And if you did or didn't, what do you think? How much of a progress has the Women's Hockey League and women's in general when it comes to hockey? How much has it grown over the years to you?
It's grown quite, tremendously. And it's still got a lot of growth. You think about it, the women's game. I remember watching the women's game, you know, 10 years ago, and you know, the shots weren't very hard. The skill level wasn't very high, and it's continued to get higher and higher. And the speed of the game, the pace of the game, the things that the women are doing at this level is extremely impressive, and I'll tell you what, the women's game continues to grow. And if you talk to any woman who's played the game or is learning the game, they are as passionate as the men. And the more and more that the women play the game, the more and more you're going to see that level of play continue to go higher and higher. And it's impressive now, and it's going to be even more impressive in the future, because it's really opening up a whole nother fan base, if you will, for our game, and a whole nother level of passion for our game, you know, especially from the women. It has been absolutely wonderful to watch. And that U.S. women's team, they were impressive, and they're going to be the absolute force for all the years going forward. I just think the U.S. women are going to be very, very dominant.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Barry, before we let you go, last thing for you. I realize that this is all hypothetical. We could hang up this call, and you could get a call of an offer you can't refuse, and there could be a deal tonight. But is your sense now that it's more likely the teams will take it right to the wire with the trade decisions, or do you think we'll see something that starts the dominoes rolling?
I think you're going to see, talking to most of the everybody wants to do something that is in the playoffs right now. They want to do something immediate. And so they're trying to get ahead of it and get, you know, I'll say bargain prices right now. They're trying to do that. I would say teams that are, you know, needing to watch their team the next couple of games. You know, a lot of teams that I've talked to that, you know, you ask them, are you are you fully in now, or are you out? Or they're like, I've got 3 games and 4 nights. That'll say a lot to which direction we're going to point more. And a lot of teams are in that position where they go, you know what, I'm going to go through the weekend, see where we are. And I'm going at that point, if, you know, we have a good 3 games, I'm going to be in, and I'm going to be all in. And if we are in between, then I may not do anything and just nibble. And if we don't do well, we may be in sell mode. So I would say there's probably, you know, I would say there's probably 6 or 7, 8 teams sort of in that mode. And then there's probably 10 or 12 teams that are, you know, we know we're going to be there. The level of we're going to do something. We'd rather do it now. But, everybody's trying to just see exactly where they sit. And the prices quite haven't been established yet. You saw one trade, I think, today with Colorado and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh moving Kulak to Colorado for Girard, and basically Colorado giving them a second round to take Girard off their hands and take Kulak, who's a veteran player, but at a cheaper price, so they got more flexibility.
Gotcha. Hey, Barry, thanks a lot for joining us. Great insight throughout the tournament. Back at it here, and we'll talk to you again next week. We'll see you at the rink on Thursday.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right. That's Barry Trotz, Predators general manager. His segment is presented by Green Ventures Landscaping and Gary Force Acura. We'll react to some of the things he said right there, especially in terms of the trade deadline when we come back. So stay tuned. You're listening to DVD here on 102.5 The Game.